So I watched some baseball the other day, and
What? What year is it?
I know it's like it's 2015, 2016, 2017 all over again. I think 2017 is probably the last year that I consumed a lot of baseball, and then Patrick Mahomes appeared on the scene the following year,
Spell
and
was broken.
the spell was broken, and I just did not feel the need to consume as much baseball anymore. And it's just such a grind. There's just too much of it. Like, what tools do I use to consume it, right? Like, I can't get the job done. There's too many games. There's too much of it. But on Tuesday, I guess it was, I tuned into the World Baseball Classic and I watched a complete baseball game from beginning to end for the first time in, like, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years that I've watched, on TV start to finish. I've been to a couple games in that time, but and it was awesome. I had a really good time watching it. I don't know if it was just because Shohei Ohtani was playing. That definitely had,
Sure helps.
it certainly had a ton to do with it, because I mean, I don't know, you probably saw the stats, but in the tournament, he had the highest exit velocity on a double. He hit the longest home run by, distance. He threw the fastest pitch, and he also ran to first base in like 4 seconds, which was one of the fastest times to first in the tournament. He is a preposterous human being. I mean,
His
let's watch it.
fastball had 10 inches of break on it. Like,
I
it's
know.
not even
It's
technically
going
a
at like
fastball.
102 miles
Yeah.
an hour,
It's
right? I
it.
mean,
He is as miraculous of an athlete. I will go as far as to say that he's a more impressive athlete than Patrick Mahomes, which is a very, very high bar, one that I hold close to my heart. But Shohei Ohtani, when you do things that seem impossible on both ends, it'd be like if Patrick Mahomes was also an all-star safety. Like
I
that, and
know,
people have
right?
made that comparison before, but like that's how versatile and how dominant Shohei Ohtani is. And I do think that he makes any game that he's playing in must-watch TV. And I watched probably more Angels innings last year than I watched Royals innings. And that has
Sure.
nothing to do with anything other than the fact that Shohei Ohtani is must-watch TV. And if Team USA is going to lose something, I sure was at least glad that Shohei got to show out because he is incredible.
Yeah, it was a very fun little tournament. I'm looking forward to it the next time around. What I'm really looking forward to, though, Taylor, is for Shohei Ohtani to hit free agency next year and get off of the Angels so that he can go play for a real team, like, I don't know, Kansas City Chiefs. Sign him up. Welcome in to It's Always Sunny in Chiefs Kingdom. I'm Austin. Find me on Twitter at RealBirdLawyer. You guys don't have to worry about us losing our legacy check marks. There's been a lot of hubbub about that because we don't got them. We don't got any blue check marks. We haven't paid for them. We've never had them. So we will continue to be unverified. I'm here with my unverified co-host, Taylor at Taylor underscore Witt. Brought to you by the Pigskin Podcast Network at PigskinPodNet. Check out our partners, DraftKings and Underdog Fantasy. What's going on, buddy?
I'm daydreaming of Shohei Ohtani in red and gold. That'd be a sight to see.
Yes, swap out that red and white, those loser colors. Come out now. If Shohei Ohtani were a football player, what position do you think he would play? Wide receiver?
Well, he is fast as
Yeah,
hell, and he's strong. I mean,
yes.
I do think wide receiver, he could get up and get some jump balls and speed down the sideline. And then if a cornerback tries to tackle him, he'd just truck him. I mean, he'd be. Honestly, he's as versatile as a baseball player. He could pretty much do anything. I mean, if you told me he was going to be the starting quarterback, I'd be like, yeah, that makes total sense. Like, I mean, he's a unicorn. They call him the unicorn, and there's a perfect reason for it. He is just something else.
Dropping dimes out there. We got a great show for you guys. We've got news, news, news. We've got a little bit of what is happening. We've got a couple of quick mailbag questions from our two kings, Corey and Jordan. And we've got a little bit of a retrospective, a walk down memory lane. I woke up this morning and I checked my Time Hop app, which shows me my tweets the previous year. And I was not prepared for this because I sort of started scrolling through, last year's tweets. This time in the morning was a completely normal morning. And then we got to about 10 o'clock my time, 11-ish Central Time. We've got the timestamps and everything in the actual segment. Tyreek Hill got traded 1 year ago today. It was a bomb. It was a I felt like as shell-shocked as I've ever felt as a fan. We're going to take a little walk down memory lane and sort of relive that experience because it happened a year ago today. And, you know, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So it's not a painful memory necessarily. I mean, it's still it's still a little bit painful, but sure. It's not as painful as it would be. So we're going to do that to close out the show. But first, got a couple of new Chiefs to talk about, Taylor. Safety Mike Edwards coming over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a one-year deal for him, and linebacker Drew Tranquil making the switch from the Los Angeles Chargers, the perennial also-rans of the AFC West, to the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think about these two signings?
Well, you know, Edwards, of course, slots in where one Thornhill locks away. Not saying they're going to do the exact same stuff, but certainly the Chiefs lost a man in the safety
lost
room.
Lost the safety, added the safety.
Exactly. And so, you know, Edwards has been impressive in my time that I've watched him in Tampa, and I think that he's going to be a, you know, a valuable contributor there. Obviously, the Chiefs are looking to, you know, stay young, and he certainly qualifies there. He's 26. And the one thing that's a little surprising about this, I guess, was Drew Tranquil, just because linebacker didn't seem to be a room in need of any really more depth. I mean, obviously with Bolton, Gay, and Chanel, there's three guys there that, you know, played Super Bowl snaps that you feel good about moving forward, you know, to start the year next year. And then adding Tranquil to that, who has had a pretty good run with Los Angeles. I mean, I certainly think that he's an interesting pickup, but I think the position, you know, if this would have been a pickup a little bit later on in the offseason acquisitions, I wouldn't even really have thought much of it. But the fact that, you know, the Chiefs haven't bolstered a couple rooms where we really need them to bolster, and then they added a linebacker, I was just kind of like, huh.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a luxury ad maybe, but you know, he brings his calling card really is, you know, coverage and speed. And Willie Gay has been that guy. He's shown flashes of being that guy, but he's been a little bit inconsistent in that role. And obviously that's not really Bolton's thing. It certainly is not Leo Chenault's thing. So I think he fits a need there. It'll be interesting to see, you know, he's just 27, so he's not over the hill by any means either. 1 year deals for both of these guys, which I do think is a little bit interesting that they didn't want to go beyond 1 year for either of these players. But certainly if they play well, you know, you could certainly see the Chiefs bringing them back. You know, Edwards, his calling card really is, you know, ball hawking, getting the ball. And, you know, that was not really, it seemed like Juan was in the place, the right place to make a play a lot. And yeah. I mean, I don't know how long it took him to actually come down with a pick this year, but it felt like he had a bunch of possible picks that he could have made and, you know, for whatever reason didn't come down with. I don't think that's going to be a problem with Mike Edwards. Now, I'm not as confident as we sit here right now on March 23rd that he's going to be consistently in the right place to make those plays. That's, you know, up to the coaching staff, obviously, to bring him up to speed and make sure that he knows what he's doing. You know, Juan had been in this defense for four seasons. So,
yeah,
you know, he had a pretty good idea of what he was doing back there. But I'm excited for both these guys. I mean, I think at this stage of the offseason, I mean, these are two quality players the Chiefs get for very reasonable prices. Going on to departures, we have a couple of guys officially departing from the 2022-2023 Chiefs roster. Ronald Jones goes to the Cowboys. We don't need to spend a lot of time talking about Ronald Jones.
R.I.P. Rojo.
He came, he saw, he left. But we got to talk about a two-time Super Bowl champion, Mecole Hardman. And yeah. Mecole Hardman leaves to go to the New York Jets on a one-year deal worth up to $6.5 million. So, I mean, it's not even 6.5 guaranteed. This is, again, a guy that obviously the Chiefs drafted in 2019 when it seemed like, you know, Tyreek Hill might be suspended or potentially even cut out the door. He obviously was the first pick taken after that redacted, edited video dropped on draft night. And Chiefs go on to win the Super Bowl in his rookie year. They go on to win a second Super Bowl in his last season in Kansas City. Your thoughts on him hitting the old dusty trail?
I think I was probably a little bit more in on Mecole Hardman than what I felt like were most Chiefs fans that I talked to. And in that, I just mean that I liked the element that he brought, especially to the 2022 Chiefs offense. I felt that they were a better team with him out there. I felt that they certainly suffered from some explosive plays, some third down conversions, some goal line stuff when he wasn't in there this year. And I was hoping, especially given everything that how we've seen the wide receiver room transpire and all the guys that have left, I was hoping that the Chiefs would bring him back. And I kind of lost hope on that when I heard some offseason interviews with him, and he was talking about how as much as he appreciated his time with the Chiefs and, you know, like, I don't think he had any bad blood, but he was talking about how they didn't use me the way I think I can be used. He said, every time I got 8+ targets, I went off. Every game of my career that I got targets, I turned them into yards. And that just didn't really happen very often for him in Kansas City. So, you know, he gets to go and show up in New York and maybe, probably, we'll see, but catch passes from Aaron Rodgers. And so going from Patrick Mahomes to Aaron Rodgers is not
West.
Yes, pretty good situation for the Jet, who is now a Jet. Pretty cool.
Yeah, when you told me that the Jet had signed with the Jets, I thought you were talking about Jet McKinnon. And, you know, we have a couple of Jets on the Chiefs, but now no Jets. We'll see if Jet McKinnon finds his way back. But yeah, I think that that's a fair appraisal of his time in Kansas City. I think, you know, we were pretty vocal when he was out and then was working his way back that, you know, we felt like he added another dimension to this offense. We never really got to see him and Kadarius Toney on the field at the same time, which really is a bummer. I mean, like, it's a bummer. I mean, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, so, like, how big of a bummer can it be? But, like, I really do think that the Chiefs had another gear that they could even have gotten to, which is crazy because, again, they won the Super Bowl. But I think we missed out on that a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he does with the Jets, whether they do end up giving him I can't imagine with, you know, Garrett Wilson being the number one there and, you know, them potentially they traded away Elijah Moore. But, you know,
Corey Davis is probably on the way out.
And Alan Lazard is there. I mean, I can't imagine that McColl's going to be any more than the wide receiver three there, right? Like he's probably not going to out target either of those guys given Rodgers' history with Lazard and the fact that Garrett Wilson is obviously a stud who's much better than Lazard or Hardman as a player.
And there's some smoke to OBJ to the Jets. So
right. That too. There's mutual interest. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting choice for McColl if he thinks he's the guy that, you know, deserves to get more targets a game. You know, he probably could have gone maybe somewhere else, but we don't know what his market was like. And, you know, at that price, the Chiefs certainly could have probably brought him back. And
yeah,
it's the same thing we talked about with Juju Smith-Schuster, the fact that they did not bring either of these guys back at the prices that they ended up signing for means that the Chiefs didn't – it wasn't a priority necessarily for the Chiefs to bring either of those players back, which is interesting. We'll talk about the wide receiver situation here in a minute.
I would like to quickly point out that sometimes in these negotiations, the players might not want to come back. And
yeah, that's true.
People always crush the team about, like, why didn't you do that deal? You know, right. Like they're you could afford that. You could have traded for that guy. You could have done this. But, like, it takes two to tango in all these transactions. And McColl might have thought, like, all right, I'm good here. I did what they asked me, and I don't feel that I'm a priority for Andy Reid and the offense. So I'm going to go to another team and really might not have ever negotiated a deal with Kansas City. And the same thing could have happened with Juju. We don't know. We don't know how happy or unhappy he was. Obviously he talked about wanting to stay here, but, like, at the end of the day, the Patriots threw him more money. And if he wanted to stay, he would have. So it's just always interesting that trades, especially, If you know, you look at Brandon Cooks going for a fifth and a sixth to the Cowboys, and, you know, people are like, well, the Chiefs could have afforded that. It's like, yeah, but maybe the Texans didn't want to trade him to the Chiefs. Like, just because you could call up and do that deal doesn't mean the other side wants to. That's all
right.
I want to say.
Yeah, no, that's fair. We have a few other players returning officially. We have defensive tackle Derek Nnadi, guard Nick Allegretti, quarterback Shane Buechele, and tackle Prince Teguanogo. Buechele and Prince are tendered as exclusive rights free agents. They seem likely to stay. I can't imagine a team blowing the Chiefs out with a tender on either of those two guys. But no. We can talk about Derek Nnadi and Nick Allegretti returning. Nnadi coming back on, I think, pretty close to a minimum deal. And Nick Allegretti getting that special little veteran, whatever it is, the veteran it's not like a tag. I can't remember what it's called.
It's like a designation or something. Yeah.
So he comes back for what ends up being a significant, fully guaranteed deal, but it's a pretty small amount. I think it's $2 million or something like that. I mean, I'll go first, I guess, on these. You know, Nnadi, I'm not surprised to see him back. He's not necessarily the player that he was his first few seasons. You know, he's very much a role player, and I'm not surprised that he didn't have a huge market elsewhere. I don't really mind the Chiefs bringing him back because it didn't cost a lot of money, and he's a guy that knows the system, and, you know, he's a role player, but he fills a role, and, you know, he knows the team, and I'm sure he's a guy that is liked in the locker room and liked by the coaching staff. And Nick Allegretti, I mean, you know, that guy can play when he's been called on to get snaps, when it, you know, whether it's to come in for injury. I mean, he's really like, he's the first offensive lineman off the bench, essentially. Mm-hmm. I think the way that the current Chiefs offensive line works, certainly in the interior, and then, you know, they could kick Tooney out to one of the tackle spots, I think is probably how they would handle that. That's how they've handled it in the past when Orlando missed that game against the Bengals a couple years ago. You know, they kicked Allegretti in and moved Tooney out to left tackle. That's probably how they would handle that. But, you know, his versatility allows the Chiefs to be able to do that, to shuffle guys around. And he's a valuable player. He's shown out when he's gotten the snaps.
Yeah, I completely agree on both of those. You know, depth is really nice when you don't expect that depth piece to have to take significant snaps. Like, both these guys know the system. They've been around the block. We have not seen them completely screw up a game or do anything that kind of, you know, gets on our ire about them being on the team. And at the same time, like, the Chiefs need bodies in the offensive and defensive line. You always do, no matter what season it's going into, no matter who else is in there. Like, to be able to bring back guys that are familiar, and Nnadi and Allegretti are both, you know, prime examples of that. I think these were just good, solid business decisions by the Chiefs. And hopefully neither guy is really going to be super needed next year. But if they are needed, I think we'll be fine with them stepping in.
Just to give everybody an update on the guys who are still free agents. We do have Jerick "Jet" McKinnon out there. Wide receiver Justin Watson is still out there. Blake Bell, a tight end, defensive ends Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap, and safety Deion Bush. So the Chiefs do still have six guys out there, and we talked about it last show. I mean, there's not really any point in going back over this, but, you know, Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap, those are the two guys from that list that I would love to see at least one of those guys come back, if not both of those guys come back. They're both, you know, Frank's 30, Carlos Dunlap now is 32 or 33, but guys that, you know, in a rotational rushing role, with Charles Omenihue coming in too, you know, to take some of those snaps, can still be effective. They've shown that they can still be effective. I wouldn't mind, honestly, at this point, I wouldn't mind seeing Justin Watson back, which is crazy to say, but
like, I was going to ask you,
we're getting a little desperate. And mm-hmm. I certainly wouldn't mind seeing Jerick McKinnon back. He's had some great moments in the Chiefs uniform. Anybody there that is a must sign for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably, if I had to pick one, I agree with you. I think Frank is a guy that, especially just given the defensive end situation and given our thoughts that we've expressed about him the last couple of weeks, I mean, I'd be thrilled if the Shark came back. You know, Justin Watson is a guy that if he's going to be in the room to replace like Amir Smith-Marset or one of the like deep wide receiver pieces, like I'd be pretty thrilled about that, because clearly, you know, he caught a pass in the Super Bowl, which is more than a lot of these guys in the wide receiver room can say, certainly more than MVS can say. He didn't catch a pass in the Super Bowl, but
yikes.
Yeah, you know, like it's dire. It's dire right now in the wide receiver room. And basically you could tell me anybody that has any real world NFL experience is going to walk in that door and I'd be fired up about it, because right now they just don't have a lot of it. And that includes Justin Watson. I'd be okay with that right now, but I don't want him to be the wide receiver too. That's for damn sure. If they sign him and then he gets 75% of the snaps or whatever, I'm going to be pissed.
Justin Watson actually caught two passes in the Super Bowl.
Damn, good for him.
I could not remember either of them, so I just went to look it up.
One.
He caught two. He had a 12-yard catch and a 6-yard catch. So he actually had more catches in the Super Bowl than the penciled-in wide receiver one, Kadarius Toney, who had one catch in the Super Bowl and played like four snaps. So let's talk about that. The wide receiver situation at this point, since we last talked, we'll talk about this and what is happening, but some more names have come off the board. the big names out there still, one of them a free agent, one of them available in trade, are Odell Beckham Jr. and DeAndre Hopkins. Now, Odell, as you mentioned, has eyes for the New York Jets. And the New York Jets, and more specifically Aaron Rodgers, who currently is actually a Green Bay Packer, have eyes for each other. And, you know, I've been trying to think of a good way to put this take. I'm not the kind of guy, and I went to bat for Juju last year when I've been hard on the Juju train for 2 years, and I had people tell me he's hurt, he's a diva, he loves the TikToks, like TikTok boy, right? I don't want TikTok boy on the team. Listen, if you can ball, that's all I care about.
Sign me up.
And I have a very high tolerance for shenanigans as long as people can play ball, right? Like there's a limit. Yeah. I eventually reached it with Antonio Brown, and I was like, all right, I'm out on Antonio Brown. It
You and the rest of human society reached that limit.
It was probably when he exposed his penis to a bunch of people in a pool that I was like, all right, this guy's too much.
Too much.
But, you know, Odell, if Odell chooses the Jets over the Chiefs, I think I will be comfortable saying that he is more interested in the media spotlight than he is about putting up numbers and winning football games. Is that
right? I think that is fair. I think that you might already be at that point just with how long everything's kind of taking.
Yes. You know, I'm getting really close to it. All right. Like it's been 5 months that he's been sniffing around free agent teams, taking tours and going to basketball games and, you know, sitting courtside and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's, frankly, the whole pairing of him and Aaron Rodgers just completely exhausts me because as soon as I started to think about Odell's free agency process and I thought about Aaron Rodgers' shenanigans the last couple of years, they just make perfect sense for each other. They really do. And I don't mean that as a compliment to either guy. I mean it in the worst way possible.
Well,
I'm very tired of both of them right now.
Well, it's
Odell wants to sign, please sign him up.
It's been talked about that they're close. And like the moment I heard that Odell Beckham and Aaron Rodgers were close, I was like, well, duh.
Of course.
Like,
that makes
I'm surprised
sense.
Odell wasn't in the darkness retreat with Aaron. I mean, they're two peas in a pod in that sense for sure. And I mean, I think I've been pretty I obviously haven't engaged with Odell Beckham's career from more than just a NFL fan perspective. And I always thought that he seemed to get a little bit of a raw deal with his public perception versus what I thought he was actually distracting on the, like, basically
totally.
I didn't think that his behavior up until this point, it was certainly not Antonio Brown levels of insanity or really any of the guys that I think about as like, oh, that would be like a locker room distraction. I've never really considered Odell to be that level, but then this just the free agency saga, and it really hasn't been too bad, but he's tweeted a couple times about like money that he wants and like different, like I just feel like he is kind of at that point now where he's smelling his own farts a little bit. Like he's into his own situation, and you know, New York Jets seem like a perfect destination for that type of mentality. And if he wants to go, you know, do ayahuasca and catch passes from Aaron Rodgers and be part of the New York media, you know, shitstorm that is the Jets. Like, I feel like that is actually a pretty decent fit for what he's going for. Now, all that to be said, that if the Chiefs announce tomorrow that they have signed Odell Beckham,
all in.
I mean, you know, might as well. If he can ball, he can ball. But if he's not a Chief, get the fuck out.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about DeAndre, because this is starting to get a little bit obnoxious as well. I think we had a conversation, I don't know, probably a month and a half ago, whenever we started talking about the offseason. Probably about a month and a half ago, because that's right after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
But we were able to, you know, think about other things, even though we like to linger a little bit, and we have on this show. But, you know, he was certainly not at the top of my list, DeAndre Hopkins. He's in his 30s. He would cost draft picks to acquire. It's not clear exactly what the cost would be. And, you know, originally it was reported that he wanted, you know, a new deal. And that's not something that I or Brett Veach are typically interested in doing, giving new money to guys who are on the wrong side of 30. That being said, done a 180 on this because there are not a lot of other options. Right. And I haven't heard that new money thing repeated a whole lot. Like, I've been sort of like saying like, yeah, I don't really want him. He wants a new contract, whatever. I'm not sure at this point that he's, you know, committed to that, right? Like, it sounds like maybe if you just want to slap some more guarantees on there, you know, it's not like he needs $30 million in new money. Nope. So the irritating part about this, according to Aaron Wilson, the Bills currently the favorites to land new Hopkins. And he also said in the same tweet that the Chiefs, because of finances, that may limit their interest. Now, the Chiefs have about $6.5 million in cap space right now. The Bills are $10 million over the cap right now. I don't know the exact numbers in terms of personal wealth and cash flow and escrow and all that kind of situation, but I would imagine that Clark Hunt is in a better spot than the guy that owns a football team in Buffalo, New York. Sure. Just speculating. I'm just
sure. Clark Hunt's in a better spot than most humans. Yeah.
He is. And most humans in the NFL, he's one of the wealthier owners in the NFL. You know, typically the Chiefs don't have a whole lot of cash flow problems. Again, this team plays in Buffalo, New York, and I don't even know who owns the Bills off the top of my head. I used to know this information, but
yeah, me too.
Take a stab at it.
I always think about Bean, but obviously he's the GM. I do feel like the Chiefs also have the Chris Jones extension in their back pocket.
They do.
That to clear at up any more space. Time, you know, they could clear up $10, $12 million or so with a hefty Chris Jones extension. And it feels like a situation where the Bills realize that the Chiefs – now, this is Brett Coleman tweeted this out earlier today. He said, if I'm the Bills, don't you just want Nook so that the Chiefs don't get him? Like, don't you just want to block your number one AFC contender from getting a piece like this when you know that wide receiver is a position of weakness for them right now? And, like, a lot of times, you know, if there was a little bit of smoke to Hopkins becoming a Chief, like, some of these teams might have been like, well, shit, we can't allow that to happen. And I do think that, you know, I mean, I know if the Bills were being smart, that's if they weren't in on Hopkins before they knew the Chiefs were in, that should have motivated them to get in. There was some speculation that, like, Ed Oliver could get traded in the deal because the Cardinals might be looking for players more than money or more than picks. I mean, and
makes sense.
And I mean, that way that would help free up some cap space for them to then acquire Nook and all that stuff. I just think that until it happens, there are too many teams in the NFL that could use a talent like that, that I'm sure are interested. Now, one of those teams is not the Baltimore Ravens, who Aaron Wilson said are out on, they were not one of the teams to like be inquiring about Hopkins right now, which infuriated a bunch of Ravens fans. And for obvious reasons, that's kind of,
I mean, they're having, yeah, they've got a rough go. Right,
yeah, now. They really do. I mean, between Lamar, where is he going? Who knows? Nobody knows. It's been a really wacky NFL offseason. Not the way last season was wacky because so much stuff happened and so many massive trades and big, you know, names coming over to the AFC and all that stuff. This year it's just wacky because, like, it's March 23rd and we don't really know what next year is going to look like for a lot of these teams. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, it is crazy. And we kind of have been saying it every week. I'd be surprised if this goes on too much longer, but gosh,
it's still going.
It's still going. So I guess at this point I shouldn't be surprised. We got to talk a little bit about the plan here. We sort of exchanged G-chats about this yesterday because, you know, you tweeted out, I'd like to see the plan. Yeah. And it's not to say that we don't trust that Brett Veach has a plan. We just want to see what it is. We just want to know what it is. I just want to know. I took the liberty of coming up with my own plan for Brett Veach, which I'd like to present to you now. And the plan that I have for the Chiefs, which I think might be legitimately their plan, is to swoop for a Kadarius Toney type of guy. Now, a guy that's on, you know, his rookie deal, but, and has ability, but for whatever reason, you know, he's hurt or he's not, you know, beloved by the current coaching staff, the team that he's on. I mean, we know that's Brett Veach's MO. And we also know that Brett Veach plays his cards pretty close to the chest. I mean, this Tyreek Hill trade, which we're going to talk about at the end of the show, that was literally like, I'm still, I still like get anxiety about how sudden it was.
I get
like
it.
When I was going through the timeline this morning, I was like, oh my God, this was just like
90 minutes.
Our whole lives as Chiefs fans turned completely upside down. Now it all worked out in the end. But I've got some names here to run by you and just to get your thoughts on. Elijah Moore would have been great. He was a second round pick, obviously, with the Jets a couple of years ago. He was really good as a rookie and then disappeared last year because their entire offense was, you know, abysmal. But he is gone. He's a Cleveland Brown now. And so we're probably not getting him from the Cleveland Browns. But this is kind of this is the kind of track that I would like to see the Chiefs pursue. So another Moore on my list here, Rondale Moore, a second round pick also in 2021, but a second round pick of the Arizona Cardinals. He missed half of last season. He's averaged under 40 yards per game in his two seasons in Arizona. But listen, there is a new regime in Arizona. So we're not dealing with the team that drafted him or even the coach that, you know, went to bat for him, right? We've got a new coach. We've got a new GM. Yeah. No attachment to him. Lots of holes to fill in that roster. I would be really curious to see what he would fetch in a trade. He's a guy that I think was really underutilized in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, which was really boring and unpredictable, you know, for a guy that had this reputation, I guess, as an offense guru, which he got because Pat Mahomes was quarterback in college. You know, like, for all that, they didn't really use Rondale Moore in a very interesting way. I think he was close to the bottom of the league and averaged up the target both of his years in the league. And, you know, in college, he was like a big-time deep threat. And the Cardinals did not utilize him that way. I think he would be a really interesting player. See
before
if
you go on,
a fourth or fifth might get it done.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I just think that it's really funny. I want to point out a pattern here. First or second round pick, wide receiver, oddly used by the previous team, last name Moore. I feel like these are Sky Moore's lost brothers.
Yeah, sure,
like I feel like you could have brought Elijah Moore and Rondale Moore onto this team and just had had the Moore triplets, and they're all just these weird, like, other teams. Like, if you were looking at Sky Moore, you would have, if you were not the Chiefs, you would have been like, this is another guy that fits this.
Sure.
List.
This is a guy like, we want to go out and rescue Sky Moore.
Exactly. From the Chiefs. So I just thought that was really funny because they both sound like you're talking about Sky Moore.
Oh, definitely. No, that's completely fair. Different kind of guy. I don't think this is super realistic. I've not heard the Rondale Moore thing at all. And there's probably a reason for that. But like when I was going through the list of the guys that have been drafted the last couple of seasons, I was like, oh yeah, Rondale.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's a guy that's pretty interesting. And, you know, the Cardinals clearly are shopping wide receivers. I get they're shopping Nuke because he's in his 30s and, you know, Rondale Moore's 25. But like, okay. Rashad Bateman. Now, this was a first round pick 2 years ago. It was actually the Chiefs pick that the Ravens used to select Rashad Bateman from the Orlando Brown Jr. trade. He has also been extremely injury prone. He's basically missed, you know, good chunks of both of his seasons. And he has not really, I mean, he's been fairly underwhelming. But I've not seen him on the block. And with the caveat that the Ravens probably are not interested in trading him because they don't know what's going on right now. No, I mean, like, they don't know if they're coming or going. They don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. They don't have any other wide receivers, really. Like, Devin Duvernay. Is their wide receiver, too.
Sammy.
These are all reasons. That's right, Sammy. These are all reasons why they would not be interested in trading him. But on the other hand, they clearly don't have any qualms about trading with us because they sent us Orlando Brown Jr. a couple years ago. He did come out and take some shots at their front office about a month and a half ago when that, when that NFLPA report card came out. He basically, I don't remember the context of the tweet and it was very quickly deleted, but you remember that the Ravens got an F- for their strength training staff. And he essentially kind of came out and said, you know, like, this is bullshit. You know, he actually called out their GM in his tweet by name and then he had to delete the tweet. And
Eric DaCosta, right?
Yeah. They haven't said that they're shopping him, but I mean, like, you know, guy comes out, takes a shot at the GM, you know,
you're going to be shopping him now. If you weren't before,
you might as well see if they're interested in moving him and what the price would be. Now, I think he's a former first round pick and he has flashed a little bit. He probably would command a little bit more than Rondale would theoretically. And I don't think that they're necessarily looking to trade him, but could be interesting. I got another recent draftee. And then I got some second contract guys for you. We've got Jalen Tolbert. All right. Third round pick last year for the Cowboys, 88th overall pick. Guess how many snaps he played last year?
Very little, because I own him on one of my dynasty rosters.
Oh,
it was frustrating.
No, that's basically cheating. He played 89 snaps the entire year, and he wasn't hurt. And this is for the Cowboys,
snaps.
Who traded away Amari Cooper, and like Michael Gallup was awful coming off of an injury.
Yeah,
like
they were, and hurt.
They were desperate for wide receiver help last year, and they just traded for Brandon Cooks because they were still desperate for wide receiver help because they, I guess, think that Jalen Tolbert can't play. I would take a crack at Jalen Tolbert. Okay, he was a big project, but he was the Sun Belt Conference Offensive Player of the Year.
There you go.
2021. Okay. I mean, like, listen, he's already 24, so, like, he's an older guy. He's raw. He's not good at running routes. But, like, there are some organizations in the NFL where if you told me, like, give me that team's player and put him on our team with our coaching staff, like, how much better do you think he's going to get? Like, the Raiders are a great example of this, obviously. Like, if you can pull a guy with talent who's played for the Raiders, that's great. That's a great gamble to take because they don't know what they're doing. They're not coaching their players up the right way. And obviously, we feel good about the Chiefs' ability to do that. So he's a guy that I had on my list just to, you know, kick the tires up.
I have one note on Jalen Tolbert is that I actually have a dynasty team named after him because, our Hunger Games dynasty squad that we are doing. So my squad in that is named Mocking Jalen after my draft pick of Jalen Tolbert. So I'm familiar with his lack of game.
Unfortunately for you, not Mocking Jalen after Jalen Hurts, who would be a monster in that league. You know, we got a little super flex league, best ball. He would have been out there scoring you, more points in, you know, a single snap than Jalen Tolbert scored the entire year. He had two catches for 12 yards. So
certainly,
he was just a guy that I thought might be kind of interesting. I don't know that you could expect him to make an instant impact, which I think, like, at this point, I'm worried about the lack of reps and experience in this offense.
Offense. There's tons of options right now that aren't even going to have legitimate NFL experience that the Chiefs might look at. I mean, it's getting concerning. I'm sweating.
Yeah. A couple of second contract guys really quick. Deontay Johnson, Steelers wide receiver. Don't see why they would move him, but, you know, he's an interesting player. They do have, obviously, Pickens coming up, but they have also got a rookie quarterback contract. So they're probably not looking to move him, but he's an interesting guy that I'd be interested in. Marquise Brown. I mean, we might as well just call about the entire Cardinals wide receiver room because, like, what are they going to do with them? They're in the NFC, so you would think that if they were going to trade any of their guys, they'd want to trade him to the AFC. I mean, a good but not great player. But again, this is a guy that was in a Baltimore Ravens passing attack and then played for the Arizona Cardinals, and he was really quite good with the Cardinals until he got hurt, and he's a smaller guy. I mean, I think injuries are always going to be part of the package with Marquise, but you could give the Cardinals a call about all three of their wide receivers and just kind of see what the asking price is for each of those guys. I don't think you could go wrong with any of those three. I obviously would prefer to have Hopkins because he's the known commodity.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. Last names on the list. This is kind of a little bit of a troll, I guess, but the Broncos are apparently still shopping Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. And nobody has traded for those guys. I think probably because they're bad. But, I guess you could give the Broncos a call. I guess you could give them a call and see what they want for Jerry Jeudy and or Cortland Sutton, you know?
Yeah, that's they'd never do it.
Those players are bad, but they've been bad for the Broncos. And the Broncos are a factory of sadness. And, you know, we probably could, if anybody could turn those guys around, I'm confident that we could do
it. Well, let me give you two guys on the rookie deals.
Yes.
That I would be somewhat interested in, and not just for fantasy stock, although it piqued my interest. Number one is Romeo Doubs on Green Bay.
He had
a pretty decent rookie year for them, but with Green Bay being in such flux with everything that's going on there, they obviously love Christian Watson as their young wide receiver one, and they've got Samori Toure, who they like as another wide receiver. And I just feel like Doubs might be a guy that could be gotten, although I don't know, youth is so important in the NFL, and he's 22 years old. But he's a guy that he's on his rookie deal, and he didn't exactly light the world on fire last year. And I could have been, I could be persuaded that that would be a fun pickup. And then the other guy,
that's an interesting one.
The other guy is a guy that has had rumored ties to Chiefs trades that never ended up happening and has certainly shown flashes but been incredibly inconsistent. And that's 24-year-old LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew that.
Of course. Former Jaguar, got traded to the Panthers last year. He scored twice on two long touchdowns last year. Like when he was able to kind of get out in space, he's got some wiggle to him. But the Panthers are also a team that, I mean, they're picking 1-1. They've got Thielen and Miles Sanders and a bunch of, you
Terrace
know, they
Marshall,
brought in
baby. Terrace Marshall Jr., receiver one.
Exactly.
That, talk about my dynasty stock.
Right yeah. There. He's, I mean, so definitely a guy that I know the Chiefs have looked at before based on rumors. And I mean, if they were to bring him in, I could at least be like, oh, that could be fun as like a wide receiver too. None of these guys fit the bill of like coming in and taking the lion's share of the catches, but they need some guys, certainly.
Yeah, I actually almost put LaVisca on here, and then I kind of didn't do it because he's already been traded once, but I should have kind of considered the fact that, you know, it is, I mean, the team that traded for him, the regime that traded for him is no longer there. So yeah, right. There's no guarantee that there's also – you've got Frank Reich, who knows what he's doing, versus Matt Rhule, who didn't know what he was doing. So, I mean, Frank sure. Reich might come in there and he'd be like, shit, these guys got LaVisca Chenault, and I can actually use LaVisca Chenault. Like, I know what I'm going to do with this guy. Whereas, you know, they clearly did not. But those are some names. We'll keep you all posted. We'll keep, you know, our ears to the ground on that and see what's going on there. Let's talk about
what is happening.
We don't have a whole lot to discuss here because there hasn't been a whole lot of news league-wide, which is weird. I mean, like, it's always a little bit quiet after the first wave of free agency passes, but I wanted to take this opportunity to update the pod listeners on our wish lists from last week.
Sure.
We did this exercise 1 week ago. Now, we each picked 5 players, and all 5 of my players are still on the market. Odell Beckham Jr., defensive ends Yannick Ngakoue and Melvin Ingram and Frank Clark, and tight end Irv Smith. All those guys are still out there. They're all still available. Chiefs could make a move for any one or all of those guys still. Do you want to tell the listeners what happened to your players?
I do. So my first wish list was standout safety CJ Gardner-Johnson for the Eagles, who was immediately snapped up in a 1-year deal by the Detroit Lions, which I love for my Lions. That's a really fun, you know, move for them. He's a playmaker, and they needed some defensive help. My twins, Darius Slay and Darius Slayton, who I was both interested in, the Chiefs calling up about their services. The Eagles had cut at the time that I named Darius Slay. The rumor was that they had cut him, so I was interested in his services, but they decided not to cut him. They brought him back on a pretty lucrative 3-year deal for Slay, who's a really good cornerback. And then Slayton also went back to his previous team, the New York Giants. They, after paying Danny Dimes and turning him into Danny Dollars, they decided they need a couple more weapons for him and brought Darius Slayton back there. And I wanted Adam Thielen. As I just previously mentioned, though, he is now a Carolina Panther. I wasn't super interested in Adam Thielen, actually. As I was walking off with this list, I was like, the more I talk about it, the less I'm into it. But the one guy that I did name, the one guy that's still on the market, still looking for a new home, defensive end Calais Campbell, who is an absolute monster, you know, played for the Ravens last year.
He's a beast of a man.
Beast of a man would certainly be a big size eater on the line for the Chiefs. Still hoping that I can get my one. You know, I've been riding the Joe Tooney free agency wish list home run that I hit 2 years ago. Just riding that every day. So I probably am going to run out of steam on free agent wish list here soon, but not today. Ready for the underdogs, the upsets, and the unbelievable action from DraftKings Sportsbook? The biggest tournament in college basketball is here. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on college hoops and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all customers can score a no-sweat bet during the tournament. Go to the app, opt in, and place a no-sweat bet this weekend. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code TPPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, win or lose. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TPPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Let's do a couple of mailbag questions here. We've got two mailbag questions to answer. I'm going to let you tackle the first one from our guy, Corey04, the artist chief. Ka-ka!
For the pot, Taylor, Austin. You have to draft the first five picks for the Kansas City Chiefs based on their needs. Oh, I didn't actually see based on their needs when I answered this. So, Corey, yeah. Note to you, I did not draft based on their needs. He says, but you have to choose from the Birds of War who's getting drafted at what position. Hmm. So I was thinking about drafting Birds of War and not about where the Chiefs need, because I drafted you, Corey, the artist chief, Kaka, as quarterback. You are an artist. You're an artist out there with, you know, running around and making plays and coming up with stuff on the fly, much like our saint and God, Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, you're the star of this question. You're the one who asked it. You're going to be drafted as quarterback. You can back up Pat. That's fine. That's a need.
Sure.
That's, you know, great, Henny, I mean, retired.
That's a great job, too.
The Corey Badger.
Quarterback.
I mean, that's it. So he's there in backup quarterback. And then – you know, maybe I'm not feeling quite as comfortable with Harrison Butker after a doink in the
– I mean, listen, you already told us that you didn't draft for needs. Yeah. So you don't need to add any pretense to this. You just drafted five Birds of War to positions that you felt suited them.
And now, I was
– hard enough as it is. We don't know any of you in real life.
Exactly.
We don't know what you're good at.
No, and I wasn't super confident that any of these people would not die on a football field. So I drafted to save them from themselves, and I drafted Jordan Screen, King of the Birds of War, Kaka, as a kicker. K for King. He's always kicking in questions into the show, you know, making sure we've got a little bit of content there. So, Jordan, we appreciate you. You will back up Harrison Butker. Next, I wanted to stick with the alliteration of the position that I drafted them in. So, Peter Yadrich.
Punter. You're doing like a Stan Lee thing.
I am drafting like Mr. Superhero or whatever. Yeah. Sure.
But it would be in this case like Stan Lee Superhero or you know, Peter Parker or whatever.
Peter Punter. Yeah, exactly. So Peter, you are the punter. I don't want you to die out there, and that's as close as I can come to protecting you. But then I guess I couldn't just.
He's also a golfer. He's, you know, that.
Peter could make it. Peter could make it work.
You know, the long drives. There's probably something there.
There's something there. But then I decided I couldn't keep copping out and drafting special teamers. So Justin Orrell, Kaka, you are going to be a wide receiver because you receive answers to your mailbag questions a lot, but I do often overlook you when you're open and asking me a question. So you would probably be running around out there and not catching the ball, even though you are running open in the secondary. So Justin Orrell, you are drafted a wide receiver. And then finally, I need a little bit of protection for the Birds of War. They're all kind of out there fragile and getting, you know, kickers and punters and stuff. So Zach, the layman's terms, Kaka, you are going to be a franchise left tackle. He's always cooking up something good on Twitter, posting food pics and stuff. And you know that the offensive line room would appreciate the food that Zach brings to the table. And I think they could learn a thing or two from his protection plan. So
yeah.
Zach, you are left tackle.
I don't know how big any of these people are in real life. You know, I don't know Zach if he has the size to play offensive lineman. He could be a giant. He could be
he's like got a man hobbit. Beard.
He could be like a little hobbit. But the point is, you're saying he cooks and eats like an offensive lineman. And it's kind of like, you know, if you got your adventurer party out there, you know, doing whatever, adventuring, you got to have your cook. And your cook got to be, you know, cooking up a stew for everybody else. And, yeah, I mean, that's definitely like a glue guy, even if, you know, he is like 180 pounds and, you know, 5'4". I'm not saying that he is. I'm not saying that he isn't. I just don't know. Zach, you're going to have to weigh in and give us your measurables. We can know if you're going to be able to actually stick out there at left tackle or if you're just going to be, you know, cooking up stuff on the sideline. Jordan asks us, at Taylor Witt, at Real Bird Lawyer. Those are our @s. Follow us on Twitter for the pod. If you had to swap roles with one player from the current defense with someone on this list, How can you best prepare the team to be competitive? Example would be Powell playing DB and Joshua Williams playing wide receiver. So we're basically like swapping a wide receiver for a defensive player and vice versa. And the wide receiver is currently on the Chiefs roster, which is a ghastly situation. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, John Ross, Amir Smith-Marset, Cornell Powell, Jerrion Ealy, who's kind of a running back, Ty Freifogel, and Justin Ross. So my main concern with this question is not who on the wide receiver room is going to play DB. Because who can play wide receiver? The DB room is pretty deep, right? Mm-hmm. We're not worried about the DBs. There's plenty of good DBs on the Chiefs right now. Yeah. I'm not that concerned about, you know, who's going to go over from the wide receiver room to play DB. That being said, the best DB on this list, give me Amir Smith-Marset. You know what? Give me Amir Smith-Marset. There's probably somebody in the comments is probably going to tell us that, like, one of these guys played cornerback in college. I didn't go that deep.
I don't think you're doing this right.
No. What do you mean?
If you had to swap roles with one player from the defense with someone on the wide receiver list. Right. So you're swapping on the defense with a wide receiver.
Well, sure. Yeah, but obviously it's going to be a DB.
Okay, I got you. You were just thinking Amir Smith-Marset's going to be a DB. Who's going to replace him? I got you.
Yeah, I'm following. You're going to move a wide receiver to what, like offense, or to what, like defensive line?
I'm looking for the most help in the wide receiver room I can, and it might not be from a DB.
I see what you're saying. Well, but I haven't told you who I'm swapping back yet.
Yeah, so, who's taking Amir Smith-Marset's place? I got
you. Sure, right. He's going over to play defense. You know, he's a good special teamer. He's got some good speed. I think we could coach him up to be a passable defensive back. Now, coming back the other way, that is the interesting part of this equation. And I don't really want to do it because he is an important part of the defense, but I'm bringing over Justin Reed.
Yeah.
I think Justin Reed can kick and he can hit like a Mack truck. And he's got good speed. He's got good size. I mean, like, he's got good enough ball skills. I just think that, like, and the other thing is, too, like, I thought about Trent McDuffie. Like, if I had to pick one guy in the defensive back room that I actually think could play wide receiver, I think it would be Trent McDuffie. But I don't want to take Trent McDuffie away from the DB room, right? Sure.
Justin Ross. He's only 5'10", too.
Exactly. I mean, well, yeah, that's true. But I'm talking he'd be like a slot receiver for sure. I mean, just with his lateral. Well,
that's why I'm thinking Joshua Williams, buddy. He's 6'3".
Oh, shit.
You know, I think he would be a pretty good wide receiver. He's tall and he can run. And although the Chiefs need him on defense, they don't need him as bad as they need a wide receiver that's 6'3".
Or Justin Reed. That's fair.
Yeah, I think he's the answer.
He's further down the list. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Except I wanted to swap him with Ty Freifogel because I just wanted to say Ty Freifogel on the pod. Sure. I haven't had that opportunity.
You wanted to put Ty Freifogel in the defensive back room and we can hide him back there. I don't know what Ty Freifogel's size is. I don't know what he looks like.
I can tell you if you want to know.
Please do. Please do. I have no conception of how large or small
Ty Freifogel is. 6'1", 205.
Okay.
He's got a little bit of size to him.
Yeah, that's decent size for a DB. He's 24. I do like the Joshua Williams move, though. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
And, he needs some
help.
Yeah, he gives the Chiefs some beef. And, you know, the Chiefs, they, aside from McDuffie, they drafted a lot of beef over there. They drafted a lot of big guys. Like, take one of those big guys that can run and, you know, see how it works out. All right. Let's close this out with a little retrospective, a little walk down memory lane. Mm-hmm. Last year, 1 year ago today, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. Now, we've assembled the timeline here because I think people forget just how out of left field this was. I mentioned earlier this app that I have, TimeHop, that shows me my tweets from a year ago. And I've been like thinking about this for like a week where I was like, I don't know if I really want to relive the Tyreek Hill trade, but I didn't look up what day it actually was. And I was like, I don't really know when this is coming. And I was kind of a little bit shocked, even though I remembered this immediately when I started looking back at the tweets. It all happened in like 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So 10:04 a.m. Central Standard Time on March 23rd, 2022, Ian Rappaport tweets, another blockbuster coming? Question mark. Despite an offer from the Chiefs that would make superstar Tyreek Hill one of the highest paid receivers, extension talks have stalled, and Kansas City has now given Hill's agent permission to seek a trade. Sources tell me and Tom Pelissero. 8 minutes later, 10:12 a.m., Schefter tweets, Jets and Dolphins are in serious talks to trade for Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill, per league sources. Hills and Chiefs are mulling what to do, but Hill's time in Kansas City looks like it could be coming to an end. Literally, we've gone from has been given permission to seek a trade to these are the teams that are coming, and he's probably gone, all right, within 8 minutes of each other. 34 minutes later, bad at math, 10:46 a.m., Aaron Wilson tweets, trade is regarded as, quote, extremely likely to happen and is not considered a possibility, as in it's not possible.
It's a probability.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's extremely likely to happen. And then less than an hour after that, 11:34 a.m., Schefter announces that the trade is official and Tyreek Hill is gone. Literally 90 minutes from the first tweet from Ian Rappaport to the last tweet from Adam Schefter. That's it. He's gone. The best wide receiver in Chiefs history out the door. And, woof, I mean, we not have only the benefit of living in a digital age where we can pull our own receipts. But first, before we do that, I mean, just remember for me how you feel.
Well, not only the best wide receiver as far as production, you know, as far as box score and, like, been there for big games and put up a lot of numbers, but, like, the most electrifying player in the NFL not named Patrick Mahomes. Correct. And maybe even named Patrick Mahomes still. Sure. Like, I mean, Tyreek Hill, when he has the ball in his hands, is unlike any other player in the sport. And regardless of if that's the most important because he's a wide receiver versus a guy like Mahomes that runs the show, blah, blah, blah. You have all that debate all you want. But there's no mistaking that over the course of Tyreek Hill's career in Kansas City, we had more fun moments with him than just about anybody we've ever watched play our sport, play that sport. And when I immediately thought of losing Tyreek Hill, it was this, like, we lost a thing that nobody else has. We lost a unicorn. We lost a guy that is a one of one in the NFL. And as much as we talk about, for good reason, Travis Kelce being the GOAT and all the stuff that Kelce does that's great, and he is a one of one in tight ends, but he's not Tyreek Hill. And if I say that because if we had traded, if it had just been the exact alternate universe and they traded Travis Kelce instead of Tyreek Hill, I would have been bummed because I like Travis as a dude and I would have thought, but it wouldn't have hit me like it hit me for Tyreek because I've seen guys do what Travis does before. I've never seen guys do what Tyreek Hill does and I still haven't seen it. He's incredible. And I was floored. I was flabbergasted. I was thunderstruck.
Yeah, I mean, thunderstruck is a great way to describe it because it was stunning. So we have our digital receipts here. We pulled our G chat log.
We should just read it
as ourselves. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is great. Let's do a dramatic reading.
All right. Bro, this Tyreek tweet. Paste of rap sheets, another blockbuster coming. Bro, paste of Adam Schefter, Jets and Dolphins are in serious talks.
I'm sorry, what? I'm in a meeting, but WTF is this?
I'm going to be sick. It looks like we're trading Tyreek. Jets and Dolphins in serious talks. I'm seriously sick to my stomach.
That is so weird. WTF. Well, this is unfortunate.
I'm disgusted. This has turned into a full-blown panic.
I'm also not happy, obviously, but...
Dude, I need to take a chill pill. This is the worst I've felt in a long time.
Hold on. Let me put an optimistic spin on it for you, which I'm not going to tweet yet because I'm also upset, but...
I've seen optimistic spins. I'm not in the headspace for it, Austin.
It's really hard to continue to compete with such a top-heavy roster, and if we get a haul for a Tyreek in a great wide receiver draft class, it might not be the worst thing.
God damn it, man. I can't wait for news like this. LOL. Pasting Tyrann Mathieu tweet of, when egos run wild, contain yours.
LOL.
What a clown.
Maybe that means he's coming back. LOL. Maybe we'll sign Julio. LOL.
Fuck that. Fuck everything. I am so pissed.
Well, it's happening, so I guess we might as well accept it.
Ugh. Aaron Wilson says, Tyreek Hill trade is regarded as extremely likely to happen.
Yes, and not a possibility. I just saw that also.
He's gone today. Probably within the hour. I'm going to vomit.
Honestly, I'm most upset right now about my Tyreek Dynasty stock in Romeo. He'll be shitty in fantasy now, and I won't get anything in return.
No, he won't. He was great with Alex. He'll be awesome.
Yeah, but Tua or Zach Wilson ain't Alex. Boy, I was right about that.
They'll throw to him constantly. I am wrecked right now. This hurts worse than the Bengals loss.
We signed Ryder, so dry those tears, bud.
Dude, we're so funny, even we're in like a complete panic. This is great. Chiefs are looking for not two first-round picks, but a one and a two, the Devontae Adams deal.
Man, this is all the Raiders' fault. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Jets are reportedly offering at least the 10th overall pick. Spoiler alert, they were not. So we're already getting a better return than the Raiders did.
Yeah, but frowny face. There's also some who believe Hill will ultimately re-sign in Kansas City. Regardless, per a source, it's up to him now.
Boy, I wonder where you pulled that one from as an aside. Yeah. Big ol' L on that one. What a trying offseason this has been.
The worst, paced Adam Schefter tweet. Sources, Jets and Dolphins both now have trades in place for the soon-to-be former Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. The question now becomes where Hill wants to become the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history. God, the way Schefter words this. I hate it so much. He's talking about it before it even happens. Once he decides the trade is expected to happen, for now Hill is said to be torn.
Well, at least it'll be over quickly.
Fuck, it hurts so bad. Show tonight is going to be wild. Or tomorrow?
Yeah, we might have to take a day, LOL.
Fucking brutal.
Nate says expected to happen this afternoon, which could be any time, I guess.
What am I supposed to do until then?
Well, this would be a really good year to finally get into the draft.
True. Sweet, sweet distraction. I really can't believe he's gone. This was such a blindside.
It was, and now 2022 is no longer a Super Bowl or bust years, in good ways and bad. In
a way, that's a good one.
Yeah, in a way, it takes some of the stress I was feeling away, but I mean, it hurts.
That's a stress that I was willing to bear. That's the only stress that makes the NFL fandom worth it. We are on top of the sport, a few plays away from being legendary, and now we're just another fucking one and done.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you how I feel. It sucks and it's sad, but honestly, unless we get fucking robbed in the trade, which we will not, it's going to be okay, probably good for us long term. The Patriots didn't win six rings by paying everyone top dollar. They won by playing in a weak division for 20 years.
And cheating.
And cheating.
Hashtag never forget.
But also by churning the roster.
You're getting the brunt of my negativity, but I'm an optimist at heart and I will buy back in someday, but it is not this day.
It's fair. We're all just tweeting and DMing through it. I did get us under contract for Underdog.
We have not read this before. We're reading it now, so it's great. Neat. The last time the Chiefs tried to replace Tyreek, they drafted McColl. Sad face, sad face, sad face.
Yeah, but that was the late second round pick. A top 10 pick in this wide receiver class would be spicy.
Oh, breaking news. Gone. Dolphins.
Ugh. Gross.
29. Pick 29.
Fuck, this is bad.
Yes, very bad.
29, 50, a fourth next year, and a sixth next year. Oof.
Really bad. The Jets were going to offer the 10, I thought.
They did, supposedly. I'm sure we'll find out more.
Well, this was not fun.
No, not at all. 0 out of 10.
All right. So, we got through it. That was good.
It was a dramatic reading. We did not read that before we read it live. We did it live.
This is how conversations with Austin and I go on the side when we're not podding, when we're just G-chatting about what's going on in the NFL world, just tweeting through it, except DMing through it in real time, trying to process what this was like. And now you all were there with us. Austin was the only person I was talking to. I was tweeting a little bit about it, but like this was my outlet, and it sucked. It was really, really brutal.
Oh, I did tweet through it, and I pulled a small selection of my tweets, which I
sure, let's hear.
Which I will now read. Keep in mind that all of these tweets happened within 2 hours. I quote tweeted Schefter with the very first thing that I told you, which was, I'm sorry, what? DMs are frequently workshop copy. For tweets.
Yes,
we just copy-paste them. You'll say something in the DMs. Exactly. You know, one of us will say something and it'll be like, that would play well. I'll get some interaction on that one. I'll pop it on the Bird app.
If I make you laugh, I usually then copy it.
Yeah, sure. Right. Exactly. Yeah, you know, sure. It's a good test balloon. The five stages of grief here. The first one was denial. So I'm sorry. What? That's like full on denial.
Yes.
Anger. When it happened, I actually said, okay, now we can riot. You heard some of my anger expressed also
at the package
in our DMs. Yes. bargaining 7 minutes before the trade is announced. And you just heard me say this to Taylor. This is another one that I workshop. Patriots didn't win six by paying every star top dollar. They did it by selling high on valuable assets and building around the quarterback and cheating. He's playing in a historically awful division, but also what I said. Literally 1 minute after the trade, I retweeted Eric Eager, who said Chiefs now have 29, 30, 50, and 62 in the first two rounds of the 2022 draft. That was one minute after the trade. I was like, all right, yeah, let's go. We got the draft picks. 15 minutes post-trade, depression hits. I tweeted, we no longer have our yard-chugging cheetah crying emojis.
Aww.
I quote tweeted Arrowhead Live, which I did again today. You're welcome, Arrowhead Live. Got you some pop on this tweet from March 23rd, 2022. He said, can't wait for 2023 when you all are celebrating this move. And I said, great. Can we fast forward to then?
That's really good.
I also quote tweeted Charger Danelle Pumphrey. He tweeted, we own the West. And I said, this is so sad, but also maybe. That was probably the lowest that I got where that's I was in a pit of despair. I was saying, look, I mean, these right other teams might actually get there. And acceptance is the final stage of grief. I did not get there. And I told everybody on Twitter this morning when I was kind of going through my old tweets and old takes exposing myself, we're about to hit the anniversary of like some of my all-time worst tweets, just in terms of the things that I was saying about what was going to happen with the Chiefs. I have a tweet coming here in the next 3 or 4 days that I will retweet when it comes up on my app, where I basically said like the Chiefs are going to be worse in 2022. There's no way that they can be better.
There's
like,
no way.
You traded Tyreek away. And I got a ton of interaction on that tweet and a ton of people blowing me up, which is why, by the way, I'm going to screenshot that tweet and tweet it out. Yeah. I don't need to retweet the actual tweet. I'm going to get so many jabronis sliding in there, you know, blowing up my spot. I don't need that.
It's okay to talk about the tweet, but you don't need people to actually see it and respond to it.
I don't need people interacting with the actual tweet. That's too much.
Nope.
I had a lot of people interacting with that tweet in particular, you know, like people that don't follow me, people that don't know what I'm about. They don't know my shtick, you know, they don't know my personality, and they're sliding in there and they're like, you're not a real fan, whatever. It's exhausting. That's why I'm not going to relive that experience. But let's talk about, you know, what went down now that we've tweeted through it in real time. And then we've discussed our DMs and read them for the listeners. And here we are a year later. The Chiefs did get 29, 50, a fourth, and 2023 fourths, a fourth and a sixth in 2023. So in this upcoming draft, 29 in 2022, last year's 29th overall pick, and the fourth round pick, along with the Chiefs' third round pick, were traded to New England to move up to number 21 overall to take Trent McDuffie. They also traded number 50, which they got in the Tyreek trade, to New England. We traded with New England twice in the first two rounds so that New England could take Tyquan Thornton. We moved back four spots and somehow got Sky Moore when Alec Pierce and George Pickens.
Well, he was between that's where we would have drafted and when we moved back. Like he was gone in like pick 50, I think.
That's right. But also Tyquan Thornton and Alec Pierce. So three wide receivers went off the board, and the Chiefs end up getting Sky Moore. They also picked up a fifth in that trade in trading back, which they used to get Darian Kennard, the tackle, who didn't see really any playing time last year. But, I mean, really, if you think about it, obviously there are some trades up and down in there. But really what the Chiefs got out of this trade, when you kind of boil it down, is they got Trent McDuffie, they got Sky Moore, and they got Darian Kennard. That's basically, and they have, you know, a couple more picks. So Darian Kennard, Sky Moore, Trent McDuffie for Tyreek Hill. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's not just the players. It's the economics. It's the contract. Sure. It's the length of time that you have with the players. It's all that. That all goes into it. And, you know, if you just talk about, like, in one game, would you rather have those three players or Tyreek Hill? Yeah, you would rather have Tyreek Hill.
Right.
But if you would rather pay those three players rookie salaries for 4 years or pay Tyreek Hill $28-30 million a year or whatever. I mean, you know, like it's definitely you end up then balancing the players with the cap room. That's part of part of the sides of the equation. So I, you know, this is me seeing the bright side of it. I still probably, if I went back, I probably would rather have not done the trade and paid Tyreek. And kept him on the team and kept slaying people on offense and doing all the fun stuff that the Chiefs were doing. But the Chiefs won the Super Bowl after the trade. So, like, how can I say that they lost the trade? How can you? I mean, I guess they could have won the Super Bowl either way. So maybe none of it matters. Maybe as long as you have 15, you can trade the most electrifying offensive weapon in the league for, you know, some picks and still be totally fine. I have a hard time saying no to Tyreek Hill, though. That's just me.
It's a really interesting conversation for us to have 1 year removed from the trade, because
especially after a ring,
because, you know, we've had this conversation pretty recently with, you know, Frank Clark, and, you know, the Frank Clark deal, the Chiefs won two Super Bowls with Frank Clark, and Frank Clark had a lot of sacks in the playoffs, and he was a big contributor there. Now the Chiefs gave up a first round pick, a second round pick, and paid him a ton of money, which limited their cap flexibility in a lot of other ways, but they won two Super Bowls in 4 years. So, you know, like it probably wasn't the right move, but it worked out anyway. So, you know, this one I think is a much less obvious call. I mean, I think Frank, even though I've had even this isn't an obvious take because I've tweeted it out and I've gotten a lot of pushback from people that say, you know, you do that trade again, you know, 100 times out of 100, we got two rings out of it. And Frank was a big contributor in the playoffs, and I certainly understand that perspective. I think that, you know, a lot of this hinges on what Sky does, because I think Trent McDuffie has kind of already told us who he's going to be. I think he's going to be a really good cornerback. The Chiefs have him for 5 years at least with the fifth year option. Before they even have to think about paying him, they certainly can pay to retain him after that. I think he's going to be a really good player. But, you know, one for one, I think I'd rather have Tyreek. I think if Sky Moore becomes something, then it becomes, you know, a closer call. And that's, you know, expecting Trent McDuffie to become a great player. Like, you know, Tyreek Hill is one of the three best wide receivers in the NFL. I'm pretty confident that he will be for the length of his current contract with Miami, and
two more seasons after this. Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
And in terms of real money. Yeah. And then I think, you know, wide receiver is a really valuable position, and, you know, cornerback is also a really valuable position, but, you know, all else being equal, I'd rather have Tyreek Hill than any cornerback in the league. And that includes Trent McDuffie, even if he turns into a really good player. So I think it kind of comes down to what Sky does.
How many players in the NFL would you rather have than Tyreek?
Not very many.
I mean, the combination.
I mean,
we've seen what
in
Mahomes
terms of
and
non-quarterbacks, it's literally like
right.
I mean, like it's three. It's like three or four guys, single
players. Maybe.
Yeah. Right.
And
like now that Aaron Donald like kind of fell off a little bit last year.
Yes.
Take him off the list, because he would have been one of the guys last year if you had said, like,
would you rather have Trent Williams?
No. I don't think I would either.
I was thinking about is Trent Williams the best left tackle you would? I mean,
it's hard. I mean, he's the best, but he's also, you know, 34 or whatever it is. Justin Jefferson is definitely.
Yeah. Jefferson's unbelievable.
Justin Jefferson is in that conversation, and he's younger than Tyreek. I think like the guys that you could put in Tyreek's tier, you guys like Devontae Adams, guys like Stephon Diggs, they're kind of around Tyreek's same age. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase.
I don't think I'd rather have Chase than Tyreek.
Yeah, I mean that's fair.
I mean they're in the same tier
based on age. You know, that's at least a
conversation. I think Jefferson's the only guy I've heard so far that I would be like, yes, give me head to head Jefferson or Tyreek. I would rather have Justin Jefferson, and even that conversation is close, but I would rather have that. So the point being, yes, you're right. If you could just in a vacuum, who of these players would you rather have? Like, it's almost always going to be Tyreek.
Right. Right. But to your point, I mean, like you said, the economics of it certainly play a big, big role. You know, it's not just about getting a good cornerback, a really good cornerback. It's about getting a really good cornerback on a rookie contract. And then, you know, our guy, Sam Hayes, in response to one of the tweets that I read off there, said, you know, the only way this is going to work out is if Brett Veach nails every one of these draft picks.
Yeah.
And then we revisited that tweet today and had a good laugh about that, because he basically did. I mean, like, he pretty much did nail every one of the draft picks. And I think that was part of the apprehension about the trade last year, too, is that, you know, Brett Veach was coming off of a really good draft 2 years ago, in 2021. The 2021 draft was a great draft for him. It was his best draft as GM so far. You know, he got Creed Humphrey in that draft. He got Legarius Sneed in that draft, you know, like, or Sneed was the year before that, but
Trey Smith and Nick Bolton.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Bolton, Creed and Trey Smith in that draft.
Yeah. Great, I mean, draft. Unbelievable draft.
A great draft. But, you know, that was kind of a blip in terms of the overall body of work. Yeah. And then this year he showed that it wasn't a blip. It was the start of a trend, because last year, 2022 draft, he absolutely nails it, knocks it out of the park, has one of the best drafts that we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years in the NFL. And that makes a huge difference too, because, you know, picks, when you get picks back, picks can be anything. It's a mystery box, right?
And could even be a boat.
Exactly. And back when Family Guy was funny, boy, what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they're players. They're Trent McDuffie, they're Sky Moore, they're Darian Kennard, they're whoever the Chiefs get in the fourth and sixth round this year. I want to talk to really quick about the Jets. We mentioned a couple times in our retrospectives here that the Jets, you know, supposedly had put the 10th overall pick on the table, which they used to select, by the way, Garrett Wilson, who, you know, like, that's an interesting conversation, whether you'd rather have Garrett Wilson won offensive player or offensive rookie of the year last year.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's obviously, you know, a rookie. He's 21 or 22 last year. He would have been on a rookie contract with a fifth-year option, so he would have been much more economical than Tyreek. That's an interesting one. But, spoiler alert, the Jets did not actually offer the 10th overall pick. And, in fact, those greedy bastards had two first-round picks, and they offered us neither of them. Instead, they offered us both of their second-round picks, 35 and 38, which ended up being cornerback Roger McCreary, who was taken by the Titans. He had a PFF grade last year of a 62. Trent McDuffie, for comparison, was a 74. And the other player was defensive end Arnold Ebiketie. Bear in mind, neither of these players went to the Jets. That player, or that pick, was traded to the Falcons, I believe. He had a PFF grade of 64.5, which actually ended up being better than George Karloftis' grade, just to kind of make a one-for-one comparison with the defensive end that the Chiefs took in that same neighborhood at pick 29. George Karloftis had a 53 grade with PFF last year, but realistically, I mean, Ebiketie was a guy that the Chiefs were never going to be that interested in. He's undersized. Others taken around that same range: running back Breece Hall, running back Kenneth Walker III, safety Jalen Petrie, cornerback Kyler Gordon, defensive end Boye Mafe. Those were kind of the guys that were in that 35 to 38 range. And I think, considering how much harder it would have been for the Chiefs to go from 35 to 21, or their original pick, I guess, was 29 and 30. So they would have had to go from 30 or from 35 to get to 21. How much more they would have had to give up? You know, I don't think that we can say that the Chiefs made the wrong call here. Like, I think of the two packages, even though they were roughly equivalent value, I think they made the right call, you know, taking the Dolphins package. It was a little bit easier for them to move up to get Trent McDuffie. He was obviously the blue chip player out of this trade. You get a fifth year option because he's a first round pick. I think they made the right choice.
Well, and I'll say this, if you're going to trade a player like Tyreek Hill from a PR perspective, you better damn well get a first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And regardless of if
that definitely worked against the Jets, I think
it did. Regardless of if that's the 30th pick or whatever, like, you cannot say we have traded Tyreek Hill to the New York Jets and we get in return a second like that. You're going to get run out of town. And right.
Even
you
if almost the value, got run out of town, even if the value is equivalent. Like,
yeah, you exactly. Can't. You almost got run out of town even with the first in there. So like, it's certainly something where I think when, you know, fortunately, It was Tyreek's decision, because there's a long-term deal involved in there. And if he didn't want to play for the Jets or the Dolphins, they wouldn't have been in play. So he looked at the two teams, and fortunately he's from Miami and all that stuff. And honestly, if you're going to pick between the Jets or the Dolphins, like, in this NFL landscape, it doesn't make much sense to pick the Jets, although maybe that's changing these days. But
sure, maybe Tyreek's going to have buyer's remorse when Aaron Rodgers comes and beats him twice this year.
Right.
Probably not, though.
Point is, though, that obviously when Tyreek made the decision that he wanted to go to the Dolphins, the Chiefs did benefit from that versus the package with the Jets. I think it worked out for everyone. And it's weird to say, because we all, you know, miss Tyreek and what he brought to the team and everything like that. But 1 year later, with the Chiefs wearing rings, with Tyreek getting a boatload of cash and hanging out in South Beach and all that stuff. I mean, really, with a breakup with a superstar wide receiver, what more can you ask for?